electricity was cut. I want to speak about two things this morning. I want to talk about, I want to commend Paul Bynum for just coming in. I cringe just when I hear the talk about stop taking plastics. And I thank Paul so much to ease my fear. I said, you imagine they have to stop taking plastic. The kind of congestion and the kind of disposal of plastic we will have, like when before Beeson and those were around, how you used to have every nook and cranny full of plastic balls and all kind of things. But I'm satisfied and thankful that he has come and said, no, not the plastic balls, et cetera. But, cloth balls and the plastics, they're still taken. So I'm glad for that.
Well, you know, it was necessary then, and it is perhaps necessary generally.
Yeah.
For somebody to spell out the types of plastics that are not affected by the ban that
right.
China has imposed. He has
right.
just given us an idea of some.
An idea, right.
All right? But that may you may need to have more information on that.
But I'm going to say yes now.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. You remember Mr. Williams this week was talking about recently about the situation in garbage and incinerating. He's gravitating back to incineration. Then, you know, he tells this on BBC News every day, three times a day, et cetera. That doesn't mean that I don't listen to VOB. stop it. You know that in the Amazon, they had that fire.
Not one, fire, several.
Several fires that.
They say the lungs of the earth are currently on fire.
Thank you. And that they say that is responsible for 20% of the oxygen dispensed in the world. You can imagine.
You've got it. Good. You've captured it well. Yes, but just let's take a break from you because we have Stetson Babb on the line, and he is part of this particular conference call that the Barbados Light and Power has. What have they said so far, Stetson?
As a matter of fact, David, I'm trying to join you live
into the conference call.
So let me let you know they're trying to through the magic of technology to join Brassback live because they consider this so critical important that we want to share this with our audience, our listeners, as quickly as possible. So,
unfortunately, we would have started the important information at the beginning.
Yes, thank you, Stetson. So, as you would have indicated, we are currently managing a situation, some generation issues. In our generation department, which unfortunately has meant that we're short of the peak demand today by a few megawatts. It's an unusual series of events for us, and employees are working around the clock to resolve the issues and to safely restore generation capacity. As a consequence, though, there will be an interruption of service in some areas, and we would have shared that a little earlier with you. And we certainly continue to do so over our social media channels, and we can share in a little bit as well. The situation is impacting between 5 and 10% of our customers at the moment. We're employing two approaches to addressing it. One is we're calling on our interruptible service customers who have their own generators, and therefore they are able to come off the grid and self-generate, which provides some relief. And then we're calling on between 5 and 10% of our customers, as I mentioned, through a load sharing scheme or load sharing mechanism to address the remaining shortfall while we work on repairing the issue that we're facing at the moment.
And Jackie was able to disperse the areas affected. Jackie, can you just do that again for us quickly?
I can do that. Again, the persons impacted today in St. Michael, Bank Hall to Eagle Hall, sections of Carrington Village and along Tweedside Road, Forge Road and Clapham, Britain's Hill and Britain's Cross Road, and a section of Lower Kilmarnock and Map Hill. In St. Philip, the areas affected today, Edgecombe, Carrington, Mangrove, Rices, and Crane. In St. George, Brighton, Stepney, and Watts Village. In Christchurch, Bordet Hall, Fair Pilgrim, and St. David's. So again, I remind you that we will be updating this via our social media channels, and this will be done throughout the day. And again, we apologize to our customers who are impacted this morning.
Great, thank you for that.
And fascinating in all of this is this is defined as an unusual series of events, which is leading to load shearing or shedding in the country. So are there any position to tell us anything more about this unusual series of events? What is it? I mean, and how long has it been going on? And what are the implications of that? I would think that that's critical, because what they have just said to us is no more than what they have put out in a press release, telling us basically the same thing. So, I mean, I find it rather interesting, because no right-thinking person in the country would want to listen to that and believe that the only thing you need to know is that you are likely to be affected by this. How serious is this matter? And why is it that it has been going on for so many days? And why is it that Light and Power is appearing to be rather cagey about the way that it is communicating about the matter? Is this a matter of national security? I think that that's what's coming through here. This is down to brass tacks. Welcome to the program, yes.
Yeah, David. Hi.
Yes, hi.
Where do I begin? Let's see. You're absolutely right regarding the Light and Power situation. They need to tell us more, and the suspicions would run a risk if they don't come and do that. But I want to speak to the issue of garbage or waste. Let's say waste.
Yes.
I believe that this is an opportunity for Barbados to start making changes. I believe we erred in the banning of some of the products that we've taken the decision to ban. What we should have been doing is looking to reuse products that a lot of these things can be, in fact, reused. I mean, China is not going to take in stuff and look to dump it. They're reusing it. Why can't we look to reuse a lot of the stuff that we are...
But we who?
No. We, Barbados.
Yeah, but who?
Paul made some comments in Vifigarce. He's struggling with the issue of opportunities to have a location and stuff like that. This has to be a national conversation. We bring in consultants and pay them big dollars for big bucks to help us solve situations. I'm seeing that the resources, the intelligence is within Barbados for ideas to go in terms of how we deal with garbage or how we deal with our waste. I'm in the disagreement with the approach of waste to energy. We have an abundance of sunshine and wind that we could be better utilized. And rather than taking... It's like burning money because of the potential of the ability to reuse or waste rather than burning it. You're turning it into energy you have other resources you can use to in fact generate that energy. So what take the waste and convert it and reuse it. And it will call for planning, it will call for equipment to properly set up. The same way Paul is looking to take it and break it down and ship it out, why can't we get the equipment to break it down and reuse it right here in Barbados?
I don't know to what extent competing interests also have an influence. And when I say competing interests, it does not necessarily mean that those interests lie exclusively within the private sector, because sometimes you have people even within the public sector who represent competing interests when you're dealing with matters of this nature. and perhaps there are some issues inside there that, you know, when you talk to people like Paul, they're not coming out and they can't tell you everything, huh?
You may be absolutely correct, but what I'm saying is no longer can we this kind of approach and behavior be tolerated. This is too key. This is too key and important an issue for the country. We a dollar. My parents would say a dollar saved is a dollar earned. We there are products that we currently import. We may even have enough quantity on the island that if we were to go to a reprocessing that product, we can reprocess it and reuse it and reprocess it and reuse it. Where we are now, all we are doing is starting with the best quantity and then continue to produce it and reuse it. I have ideas for this stuff, and it can, in fact, be done. Look, we have a university.
You have ideas. Fine. But to what extent are you dependent upon governmental approval or action to get those ideas going?
You very much dependent on that. But the government is supposed to be of the people, by the people, for the people. And we are part. Government is a body of management, but the reason why we have a democracy, we vote. We consider these people to be capable of making decisions in our best interest. Am I correct?
Yeah, but you see, one of the problems you face here is if you have part of what Barbados is facing is that we have had so much government that government has become an obstacle as well.
Right. So therefore, we the people. Look, I'm saying that we have the. I'm bringing it back to the people. The people are bigger than the government. The people. If people are united and people understand what, if that message is conveyed.
But if you got less government in Barbados, would you get a more united people? Do you think so?
No, I don't. Look. I'm putting on the table, David. What?
Just let me give you the latest score. It's 258 for 7. All right, that's India.
I'm not really interested in cricket.
You think when I say I give you, you think it's just you I'm talking to? You don't have many people out there.
I'm having a conversation.
Yes.
I think it's vital and important. Cricket is a game and it's entertainment. We face a problem right now that is serious in let's say water. We got to do something. Too much of our water is making its way back into the sea. It cannot continue, David. I've heard you yourself.
We agree on that. We agree on that.
Talk about how we use. It's not only about how we use it. It's about how we harvest it as well. I mean, look, I am willing, David. I'm putting together stuff. I'm willing to make put my ideas and compile it in a fashion that is palatable and people can understand where I want to go with this stuff. I believe I have a contribution to make.
But what will it take beyond getting that awareness? What else will it take to move from idea to something that you can actually implement? Because along with all of this, you need to have other partners, because it's not just about government. People in the private sector ought to be buying into the idea and working with you. I mean, how feasible is all of that?
Look, it will call for greed has been greed has stolen many opportunities away from this country. And hope you understand what I mean by that. People, if people move away from a greedy thinking, let's say I guess the same race, cash for trash. Stop looking. The person who is the end user of the plastic and so on, if they were given an opportunity to be rewarded for saving and delivering that waste to a location where they get, reward that is worth their while. People wouldn't throw it away. But if you're getting 10 cents or 7 cents, whatever it is for a bottle, and 5 cents for a cover, I'm just trying to figure it out. And you said to the person, look, these are tight days. Use that. This is final. Every time you throw away or dispose of something like that, you're disposing the money. People, that's why I'm saying cash for trash. Turn it in. We should be grading they're talking about not collecting or trimmings and trees and grass anymore. How much fertilizer do we import into this country, David? Why are we mulching and converting that? This is not rocket science, you know. This calls for will and a determination. And if this country is serious, we have to start doing things different. I'll rest it there for now.
All right. Thank you very much. Hello, down to Brass Tacks.
Yeah, I was ready to resume with you, but I will close shortly because I want to give somebody a chance. But let me tell you something. Keep your foot to the pedal in regard to answers from your lightning power. And, you know, this is a serious situation developing electricity and water. Let me tell you, those couple together will bring a country to its knees. So this ain't no play. Nothing here going forward.
But people are drawing to my attention the fact that Parliament has just been debating amendments to the Electric Light and Power Bill.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, when you pull it all together, the timing of what is happening here really demands that there be some explanation to the people of Barbados as to why this situation is as serious as it is. And, I mean, I cannot imagine that any company would find itself in this situation and would not anticipate that reasonable and right-thinking people in the country would raise that kind of question. I mean, on what basis do you think that people are going to just have you come and fudge this thing ever so often? It's not going to work that way. And even if the people, if they don't raise it on brass tacks, trust me, they can still raise it.
They can still raise it. And close on this, but no clandestine situation at all. Let me tell you something. Keep your foot. I could conquer you. Keep your foot deep pal with that one. And I can't understand for your life for me. White people can't understand that. Money is in garbage. Help Paul Bino. He's a force.
But I don't want me help Paul Bino. Look, let me tell. Let me just tell you something about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that every issue that comes before us needs to be treated on merit.
Yeah.
Now, a person can come on the air and in the press, and they can put their side of a story.
Right.
But you must be aware that there's often more than one side to a story.
Right.
And that's where I find that we are drifting. We're drifting in a direction where there are people who want you to take the first side of the story that you hear. And once it is emotional enough and got enough juice in it to turn people upside down and incite them and make them angry and that sort of thing. They don't want to hear anything else. Even though there's a distinct possibility that you can have another side to the story that, you know, paints a completely different picture. That is part and parcel of what the responsible media ought to do. Because if you don't do that, you know what's going to happen.
There's my side of Paul Biner. He carried me up by his place. He showed me 15 containers. I tell Paul, I see sufficient. He said, come, Roll. And the other one come up. And a container's packed with sardine pans. This thing compressed. For about 15, I tell Paul, I see sufficient. I satisfied that your case is a glaring case for thing. This is something that it should be national. Paul is satisfied.
What is supposed to be national? What is to be national?
The collecting, recycling of garbage,
but
clear the country.
But my friend, you and I would agree on that.
Yeah.
But
you should move 15, 20
but just hold on. Just hold on. Yeah. Having said that, though, you don't necessarily have all the necessary information.
Well, I don't want much more than that.
Right. No, we agree on the objective. We agree on the objective. Yeah. How are we getting from one point to the next is the important issue. What steps have been taken by one side and the other, and perhaps other people involved there as well, when it comes to doing the right thing to get there? I don't know all of those facts.
Well, all that won't clear up.
Precisely.
Wasting time.
Right.
Sorry to be indignant, sir, but wasting time.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Hello. Hi.
Yes, welcome.
Hi, good morning, David. Roger Blackman, Leighton Power here.
Yes, Roger. I'm glad that you called us. You are in what capacity?
I am the Managing Director of Barbados Leighton Power.
Managing Director. No, this is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have just listened to part of what you have said there, and we need a bit more information.
Right.
Now, since from earlier, Leighton Power was saying it had generation issues.
Mm-hmm.
Then it has, according to you this morning, an unusual series of events. And we feel that it is necessary to say a little bit more about what that is all about to the public. Because, as I said, if you give too little information, of course, you can always give too much. But if you give too little, especially depending upon the circumstances, you can create an environment for doubt and suspicion. And our job here is to help you avoid that. So what exactly is happening here that we have this, what we see as a major issue over the last couple of days?
Well, thanks again, David, and really appreciate the opportunity to speak on the matter. A little earlier, when we were patched into brass tacks, I understand, we had actually initiated a media call this morning that we were towards getting towards the end of, where we had shared some detail on the situation.
Yeah, we said that.
But unfortunately, it seems as if we were patched into brass tacks late and towards the end, so we wouldn't have had the opportunity to share those details with your callers. So I really appreciate the opportunity to call back in and keep that information for you. So we, as you correctly indicated, had experienced some challenges last week. And in fact, those challenges continued throughout the week into this week. We've been able to manage it without customers being impacted. It has meant, though, that our staff and our employees have been working around the clock in very difficult circumstances to keep the generation capacity that's required to meet the peak demand.
What are the specific challenges?
The specific challenges, it started with fuel injection equipment in our largest station, our low-speed diesel station at Spring Garden. That rendered those two units unavailable last week. And those are two 30-megawatt units, so that's 60 megawatts. Our peak demand is 150, and on average during the day, you're around 100 to, 110, 120. So those two units alone, at times can represent, and most times of the day, almost half of our capacity. Now, at the same time, as is normal for a utility, we would have ongoing maintenance, preventative maintenance and planned maintenance on existing equipment. And that is pretty normal, and that is the case. And we would depend then on our reserve capacity, which included, in this instance, those two large generators, to meet demand. Now, as it was unplanned, we started to experience problems with the fuel in that station. And as I explained this morning, this isn't to say that the fuel issue is at source, because we have equipment internally in our plant that handles that fuel and cleans it up further for delivery to the engine. So at this point, the investigation suggests something with that fuel handling equipment would not have functioned as it should have. And so that's where the focus of our attention is at the moment. Now, we were able last week to get one of those two 30-megawatt units back into service, resolve all the issues there, and in fact, that is back up and running as it should. The second unit, however, when we returned it, we started to see the same pump failures that we had had initially. And so that meant going back to that unit, and rather than just work on the particular individual pump that had failed, we pulled the pumps off and the fuel equipment, and we're doing a full inspection and full work on that particular equipment. But because of the ongoing maintenance that we have now, and that unit being as large as it is, and off unanticipated or unplanned, it's meant that today we are short by a few megawatts. We indicated earlier on the media call that the way we're approaching the shortfall in generation today is through two means. One is we're working with our interruptible service customers. We have an arrangement with some of our customers who have generators that they can self-generate to ease the situation in circumstances like this. And so we're working with those today. And we are also employing a load sharing program, which involves that will have an impact on between 5 and 10% of the customers to make up the difference during the course of the day while our teams work to resolve the issues that we're encountering. The additional work that we're doing, of course, is on the other units that are out for maintenance. We're fast-tracking as best we can, of course, being in a safer manner as we can as well, the planned maintenance there to bring those back as quickly as possible. Fortunately, the load demands on weekends is lower than it would be during the week. So we're going into Saturday and Sunday that would have much lower demand than it would have today, which gives some room to address those issues. So that going into Monday, we should have brought the reserve capacity back up to where it needs to be. We won't be completely out of the woods because, like I say, we're still doing some tests on the fuel equipment in that large plant in particular. But once we're able to address that issue this weekend, get that unit back on and fast-track the maintenance on the other units that are out, we should be okay in relation to reserve. And we will certainly, through our social media channels and updates like this and the media call that we had that we were patched in just towards the end, we'll continue to have those calls as required to keep customers informed as we go forward.
So based on what you were saying to us, mm-hmm. were we at a stage where the 230 megawatt units were out of service and the reserve capacity was also unavailable all at one time?
Yeah, those two units actually represent the reserve capacity together with the other gas turbines that we have. So those, normally that would not be the case. We would have the reserve in place so that when we do maintenance, you can go through those maintenance periods smoothly. But unfortunately, those units, which are very large, would have exhibited this issue, which would have driven us to the situation that we are. We do have other units out. You would recall our oldest plant, the steam plant, has been out of service. We had mentioned that sometime back for maintenance. And those units, one is due back next month, and the other one is due back towards the end of the year in January.
So when were we hardest hit by all of this?
We were hardest hit during the week last week, but we were managing it to the point where we were working with interruptible service customers from time to time. And we were working on this unit with the hope that we would have had this addressed by now, but unfortunately it hasn't been addressed yet, but we were working around the clock to get it repaired.
And when you were hardest hit, what percentage of your clients were affected?
So it would have been around, again, between the 5 and 10%. It probably was, I think when we gave the update last week, because when we did have a similar situation last week, we did give a statement and we did indicate we were having the same challenges. It was about 10% that would have been impacted, the maximum at any point in time. It varies, but it was around 10% at maximum. It varies between 5 and 10.
What is the sense of what this has cost you to date?
I don't have I couldn't say off the top of my head. That's not something I have off
fair
the top of
fair
my
enough.
Head.
These low-speed diesel units, how old are they?
These ones are, they were installed in 2005, so they're about 14, 15 years old, halfway in their life. These units typically would have a life of between 25 and 30 years. We have other low-speed diesel units as well that are older. Those units have not shown or been affected in the same way, and those continue to run well. But these particular units would be around 15 years old.
There are those who will be generous and would say to you, things go wrong. In the best mm-hmm. of circumstances, things can go wrong. But then there are others who will say, but it does come across as though the combination of failures makes one wonder about the efficiency and the standards within the Light and Power Company today.
Yes, and again, we apologize to our customers. We know this is not what you expect from us, and this is not the standard, certainly, that we deliver generally. But we do see this as an unusual series of events. As you indicated, there are times where, with mechanical equipment, there are unplanned events. We have installed, done many things over the last few years. We put battery storage in last year, which is helping in the current circumstances. particularly when it's coupled with renewables on the grid, like our solar at Trent. But from time to time, we know customers depend on electricity. It's an essential service. We try our best and work towards ensuring that these types of events remain very rare, and we will continue to do so going forward. So again, we want to apologize and let our customers know that we are working hard and around the clock to address the current situation and to ensure that there isn't a recurrence of this sort going forward.
You are on the cusp of any requests to the Fair Trading Commission to review any rates?
We had indicated earlier this year, and we had shared that with the media as well, that we were looking and preparing to look at a rate review. The last rate review we would have had would have been in 2010. But we really, what we've been doing is doing that internal preparation around the studies that typically you would do around expansion, identifying what the expansion requirements are, identifying what the investment requirements are. We have had to put that on hold for the time being because, as you're aware, we are having discussions with government around our license. And it would have been very public recently, the last couple of weeks, the discussions around the amendments to the Electric Light and Power Act. So while those discussions on the license and the debate around the Act and the changes there are being made, that's where our attention and focus is at the moment. Of course, we continue, as we've done in the last few years, to work on our projects, like more solar, more wind, we've been working on for a while, and we've reached a fairly advanced stage. We're pressing ahead with grid modernization and our investments there. We're investing in the grid modernization, specifically as it relates to meters. So in this 10 seconds, the focus at the moment is negotiating the license and playing our part as a stakeholder in the frequent engagements that are taking place around the 2030 vision, and continuing to press ahead with the investments that facilitate that and allow that to happen, particularly around the grid and modernization efforts in the grid. We have most of our meters, we're probably maybe three-quarters away changing out all of our meters to the new smart meters. That is an essential element of facilitating the growth in renewables because in order for the new system to work with thousands of generators on the system as opposed to the one or two that we would have had in the past, we need to make certain investments in the grid which are in progress, including having those meters changed. Because what those meters allow us to do is they allow us to have better monitoring so that you can control the system, you know when to bring the batteries in to do the backing up and so on. And so that is the sort of we call it the foundation and investment. And that is about three-quarters way through. We should complete that around the middle of next year.
You say that you've put the request for an increase on hold pending the outcome of
the... It wasn't a request, David, just to...
The thought.
It wasn't a thought either. It wasn't a request for increase. It was a rate review.
Okay,
yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean an increase. In fact,
point taken.
The main focus, just to share, if I have the opportunity, focus and thrust of a rate review in this instance would have been to set us up to facilitate the renewable transition. Because, as you know, you've been around for a little while, a rate case does take quite a while, a year plus, and is a very expensive undertaking. That approach in an environment where within 10 years we expect to completely transform generation. So these challenges that we're talking about here today, in fact, in 10 years, given the vision, we won't be talking about fuel anymore. We're talking about sun and wind and batteries. But in order to make that transition take place in such a short time frame, the whole approach to how the sector is regulated will require some adjustments. And the focus of the rate to look at some of those mechanisms that need to be put in place to transition from the fuel clause adjustment, for example, to a renewable clause adjustment that would enable those changes, and most importantly, to do it in a way that's flexible and wouldn't require a very costly and year-long. If it takes a year to make an adjustment, and a year or two, you have this new technology and something needs to be changed again, you'll be constantly back and forth in that process. So the main focus has been around the regulatory, the review of the mechanisms that are used to determine and set the rate.
Well, I thank you very much for setting the record straight on that. But you must forgive me for translating a review into an increase. But that perhaps is born out of experience. Having said that, though, what's the new timetable for pushing for this review?
We don't have a new timetable for it yet. That's something. Like I said, the focus for us now is on basically on the negotiations around the license, working closely with government, and we think we've been a good partner as a stakeholder, giving input on the energy policy. We are completely on board with that, and so that's where our focus and effort is at the moment.
Well, I hope you are in a position to at least give me 15 minutes so you can take one or two calls. Is that possible?
Well, I can come back to you on another, or later in the day, or on another day, but I do need
It's a bit tight right now, okay.
It's very difficult now for me.
Well, thank you very much, Roger Blackman from the Barbados Light and Power Company. This is Down to Brass Tacks.